You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Thursday, which the preference is always that we call it not Thursday. It's Friday Eve around here. Welcome to Friday Eve. And Butters is on the board. Hey, bro.
Oh, what's going on?
It's Friday Eve.
Friday Eve.
That's right. We're like that much closer to the weekend. But yeah, you doing good?
Oh, doing great. Weekend will be full of soccer. So beautiful weather. I think it's going to be a great weekend.
I think it is. It's clouding up right now. We hadn't had rain in like, I don't know, like desert length of time. But anyway, nonetheless, pretty weather.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine, by golly. Just am. All right, hey, we got a great show laid on for you. Great show laid on for you. So at 2:30 right here in studio, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we are scheduled to have the Speaker of the Alabama State House in the studio with us, Nathaniel Ledbetter. We're going to be talking about some things related to workforce development. Did you know that Alabama has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the nation? That's cool. But did you know that Alabama has one of the worst labor force participation rates in the nation? That's bad. In fact, the one you really want to see strong is labor force participation. We've got to get it up. And the speaker's going to be here to talk about some measures he's taking of late and where we might head with this. And we'll just dialogue a bit about how do we get jobs in Alabama on the level they should be. What can we do and who can we approach? All right, there's that. That's 2:30 with Alabama Speaker of the State House, Nathaniel Ledbetter. And then at 3:30, okay, we got like almost a total rewrite of the usual script, all right? So usually this is where we do Boomer and McQueen. Well, Boomer and McQueen are on vacation. I mean, how do you say, hey, how about leaving the beach for a while and come call it? No, we're not doing that to them. So today it's going to be Butters and Lee. Butters and Lee.
We'll see how that goes.
It sounds like a Southern university. Where'd you go to school? I graduated from Butters and Lee. But anyway.
A great institution, I'm sure.
It's an institution of some type. We know that. All right. Anyway, that's coming up at 2:30 and then 3:30 Butters and Lee. And then I got a whole triple dipper. So just hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, I'm calling it working on the workforce. In conjunction with that discussion we're going to have with Speaker of the State House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, we're going to talk about working on the workforce. How do we get Alabamians back to work? How do we make sure that we are not in the bottom of the barrel when it comes to our labor force participation? What do we got to do? How do we incentivize people to get off the couch and go back to work? Or for that matter, come out of retirement? Or for that matter, just try? Well, working on the workforce, that's number one on the triple dipper. Number two, I'm calling it swamp things. Swamp things. So the bottom line is there's a bunch of craziness going on in D.C. right now. Speaker's out of office. We got, you know, Pelosi was kicked out of her actual physical office. We got people talking about whether Trump should be Speaker of the House, and then we got people talking about whether or not there's other members of the body. And then next thing you know, it's like, you know, cats and dogs living together. So we're going to talk about it. Number two, triple dipper, swap things. And then number three, I'll be honest with you, this past Saturday I was watching the Auburn game, War Eagle. I was watching the Auburn game, and in the middle of it, a recruiting commercial came on for the U.S. Army. I have been so dissatisfied with Army recruiting efforts. I still believe the Secretary of the Army needs to resign. We did not hit our recruiting marks again, but the commercial they just ran last Saturday for the first time I saw it was solid. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. This is better. This is better. So we're going to talk about it. Number three on the triple dipper, be all you can be. That's where we're headed right there. And some of y'all are singing the old jingle right now.
Go Navy, beat Army.
Oh, I see how it's going to be. All right. Hey, listen, that's the triple dipper for the day. Let me move over here to my comments now, and I'll just remind you guys that Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers so much of North Alabama and our listening area. Southern Immediate Care is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. They are just great at what they do. 7 days a week, y'all. You can walk in if necessary, and they will see you from all ages, geriatric to pediatric. And listen, Southern Immediate Care is very likely in and around you, and if you need help, they're there for you. Check them out. Southern Immediate Care, sponsor of the Right Side Way. So here we go. Let me just tell you, this one gets a little heavy. And in fact, what's interesting is I wrote this one last night only to have more news break this morning. So here's the deal. Another story broke the other day. It was picked up in various news outlets as part of a broader narrative related to the crisis at our southern border. But y'all, the story was deeper than that. The story on its face dealt with the madness that ensues when 8 million people are allowed to bum rush the borders of a sovereign nation and just barge their way in. And that nation, that's us by the way, instead of dealing with the issue and abiding by the laws of the land, simply cows down and allows the mass migration to happen virtually unabated. If that were the crux of the story I'm referring to, then it would be enough, right? It would. But it wasn't. There was so much more to the story that I'm about to tell you about when you read between the lines. You see, the story was really about the government deciding who lives and who dies. Who's the winner and who's the loser? The story was about the government deciding whether or not to honor its finest or to cast them aside. The story is about a 95-year-old veteran of the Korean War named Frank Tamaro from New York City. You see, Frank Tamaro was a resident of the Island Shores Nursing Home, and I say was because he was evicted last week. Along with every other resident of his nursing home, Mr. Tamaro, at 95 years of age, found himself having to rely upon family members to take him in because the nursing home closed permanently with very little warning. So you may be wondering, I mean, why would it close? Was it like a fire code issue? No. Was it a corporate bankruptcy or something? No. Did they get shut down by the state licensure board for not having all their medical credentials in order? No again. It turns out that the owners of Island Shores decided to enter into a contract with a group that calls itself Homes for the Homeless, that works under contract with the city of New York to find temporary housing for illegal immigrants. So Island Shores Nursing Home's management kicked out all of the residents, including 95-year-old veteran Frank Tamaro, in order to make way for groups of illegals to have a place to live. What? Has there been anything more disgusting in recent time? Listen, the nation that does not care for its most vulnerable, the children and the elderly, is a nation that's turned its back on reason and compassion. It's a nation that is not long for the world if you look at history. Republican Representative Nicole Malliotakis, she's a Republican from New York, she went on the warpath demanding answers from New York City's leadership. In her words, she said, quote, "Our tax dollars as citizens of New York should not be utilized to house citizens of other countries, especially at the expense of our senior citizens and veterans who put their lives on the line and paid their taxes their whole lives and built our communities." Listen, folks, we can't sit quietly in the face of what the illegal immigrant crisis is creating in our nation. We have to speak up. We have to speak up loudly. And here's the deal. We must speak now or forever have no peace. A friend of mine stopped by the office the other day. He brought me a book that he'd had on his shelf for years. Chris from Gadsden, if you're listening, it's you. It's a paperback copy of a book written in 1955, just 10 years after the end of World War II. The book's written by a guy named Milton Mayer. The title is, quote, "They Thought They Were Free." The author was an American of German descent. He was also Jewish. And he went to Germany to explore the mindsets that allowed a whole society to turn on itself in such a way that the government was allowed the unfettered power of life and death, the ability to pick and choose who was allowed to leave and then who must die. The book reads pretty well. It's fascinating in some ways. It's very sobering in others. The guy wrote the book in a conversational style in which he would recount the testimonies and thoughts of men that he spoke with. In one instance, he spoke with a man who had great remorse for not having spoken out sooner. The man said that too many thought that they could just make some incremental changes, you know, slow the tide of fanaticism that the Nazis brought. In his words, he said, the usual sincerity that required them only to abandon one little principle after another, to throw away little by little, although I was good, I was one of those men, he said. Another man he spoke to claimed that he himself was responsible for what he called the world being lost. He said there came a day in 1935 when the Nazis were on the rise. A decree was put out. A law was passed. Every citizen had to swear an oath of fidelity to the regime. At first, he said he did not want to. He said he expressed some reluctance, and he was given 24 hours to decide what he was going to do. But then he realized, oh, goodness, he might lose his job. So he rationalized that if he just swore the oath, perhaps he would be in a good place to be able to help others. So the next day he swore the oath, and he said, that day the world was lost, and I was the one who lost it. That same man actually went on to save many lives. He helped others to escape the Nazis, but his regret was that he was saving a few later, but could not help but believe that if he had led others to join him in not swearing the oath in 1935, that perhaps he could have started the movement. A movement that would have saved exponentially more by robbing the Nazi party of its power before it ever really got started. He chose in 1935 to take the safer route. He chose not to speak out. In his initial silence, it became a lifetime of regret as the Nazis began the systematic dismantling of societal norms, making themselves the arbiters of life. Y'all, that was 3/4 of a century ago. Wouldn't you think that the world would have learned a lesson or two from that crazed and depraved experience in Nazi Germany in the 30s and 40s? One would hope so. But one would also believe that Frank Tamaro was safe in his nursing home, right? Frank Tamaro did not deserve to be kicked out of his residential care facility. He had done everything the way it was supposed to be done. He had served his country. He had worked hard. He earned an opportunity for care and for rest. But a feckless leadership at the state and federal level decided to abandon the societal norms. And once again, the government decided to favor one group over another. The government decided it knows best, that the loyalties it holds to its own people were somehow revocable. You see, Frank Tamaro's story is not just about illegal immigration. Frank Tamaro's story is about injustice and social decline and the loss of the sanctity of life in the defense of the defenseless. It's also a story about what can happen if good people don't speak up when the times call for it. Y'all, I hope Mr. Tamaro is given some good rest and a comfortable place to live out his final years. And I expect that we will not repeat the silence that crushed a nation back in 1935. Speak now, or forever have no peace. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. I mean, it's maddening, first of all. 95 years old, kicked out of his nursing home to make way for illegal immigrants. I mean, does that not smack you in the face when you hear it? But then when you read between the lines and you think about the early days of the Nazi rise, when people said, if I just swear the oath, maybe I can help a few people later. What if you didn't swear the oath? What if you spoke out when you had the chance? Maybe like that one guy said, I might have started a movement that would have stopped them from rising to power in the first place. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.